it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Terry Anderson. He's in White Sulphur Springs, Montana, the lucky fellow. His new book is Renewing Indigenous Economies with his colleague Kathy Rattay. This book has practical recommendations about how to take advantage of the fact that the people living on Native American reservations have the potential of great prosperity. One example that comes to mind these last 40 or 50 years is gaming. It started in, I learned from Terry, in the Oneida Indian Nation in 1975, comes to a Supreme Court decision in 1987 that endorses the idea of gaming authorities without the state's interference. We get an Indian gaming authority law from Congress in 1988. This is an example of what can be done, but it's not to limit it. Terry, does the gaming bend the rules a little bit, or is it more of the same wardship? How is it conducted?
Well, it started out to be a way that tribes could carve out an area of sovereignty for themselves. They could enter into agreements with the state to have gaming on the reservation. And these were states that had little gaming that we see all over the place today. But when this all started, Nevada was where you had to go if you wanted to gamble. And tribes said, well, what if we just open one little enclave for gambling outside of Nevada, and we have a monopoly on that? The state said, okay, we'll agree. We'll give you that sovereignty to have your own casinos. And tribes that were in populated areas could do very well. You mentioned the Oneida. I talked earlier about the Coushatta. You look up and down the interstate corridor from Seattle to California, and the tribes that are along that corridor and have gaming do very well. They have population. But you come to Montana or Wyoming or any of the states where you don't have population centers, and gaming has not been the answer. So it was the answer. It gave tribes sovereignty over gaming. But then, like all these, and this is why I say it goes both ways, tribes were making a lot of money, and some still do. But then the state said, oh, wait a minute. We didn't know that goose could lay such large golden eggs. Maybe we would like a share. And so states like California began to open their own or allow the opening of other kinds of gaming. And so now you can go into any gas station and buy lottery tickets. You can play on video games. And it competes with and has really cut into the potential for tribes to have them. All that said, this is not necessarily the panacea for tribes. The Coushatta made plenty of money off of their casino located halfway between New Orleans and Houston, but they quickly reinvested. They took that money and they invested in land. They invested in oil wells. They invested in hotels. And they took the revenues from a diversification of portfolios, the kind of things that people on Wall Street understand fully, and now are prospering as a result. The Coushatta are the third largest employer in Louisiana. So tribes can do it, and the smart ones, the ones that have the sovereignty to do it, are doing it well.
Energy. We have huge pieces of the American riches are underground, natural gas and oil, and Indian reservations, Native American, indigenous reservations are on many of those treasured pieces of property. Is that something that the Bureau of Indian Affairs also administers as a ward to say who can and who cannot use the prosperity that lives under your feet?
It's totally the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and of course that agency is subject to the politics that all agencies are. I'll give three examples of how this energy is and could be advantageous to Native Americans. Let me start with the Southern Ute, the successful one. They have oil and gas. Kathy and I write about this in the book. They have oil and gas reserves under their reservation. They managed to wrest control from the Bureau of Indian Affairs for those oil and gas reserves. They pumped oil and gas out of their reservation. They did it in a very environmentally sensitive way. They, again, diversified the portfolio, invested in other things. They control their own infrastructure. They have health care. They have schools. They have roads. It's a phenomenal place to visit to see prosperity and not close to population areas, a very desolate part on the southern border of Colorado. So the Southern Ute is an example of oil and gas. If you look at the Crow Reservation, they have some of the largest coal reserves in the United States. Because of the BIA's control over how much was mined and what the contracts were, they were earning less than 1% on their reserve under BIA authority. And then, to make it worse, along came our effort to cease all carbon-based production. And as the tribe, the Crow tribe, put it, Obama's war on coal is a war on our people. Those are the words from the chairman of the Crow tribe. Now they mine very little coal. When they did mine the coal, they had incredible reclamation of the lands. I've been there. They turned these lands that were coal strips, basically, into great grazing territory. And then finally, to fast forward to today, ask yourself where the best solar and wind resources are. And the answer is in the desolate lands that we gave the, I put in quotes, gave the American Indians, places that there was not much there, but hot sun and wind. So they ought to have the development of wind and solar resources. Again, my colleague Nick Parker has done research on this. And what you find is all around these places, there is development of solar and wind outside the reservation, but not as much inside. And again, it's because they are treated as trustees by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and it's much more difficult to develop those resources.
The book has a lot of detail, but it comes to me to emphasize two things. This is a recommendation to the Native Americans, to people who support their rights, and what is to be done. One, restore individual and collective rights, the certainty of it. That's what McGirt did. And that's what Oklahoma versus Castro Huerta questions. It doesn't revert. It doesn't undermine it, but it questions it. It gives it wiggle room to the state. The second, very important, Terry, I want to emphasize it. You want people to take advantage of the infrastructure that exists and not ignore the fact that if you're near a larger market, you're going to do better than a poor market. The example, we have a minute to explicate it, is that some incredibly large percentage of the Pueblo Nation doesn't have access to running water. And therefore, presuming that the is it the Navajo Nation or the Pueblo Nation that doesn't have running water?
Navajo.
The Navajo. Thank you. They need to bring in water. They need to establish their prosperity near running water. That's a very practical suggestion you make. Does the Bureau of Indian Affairs recognize it?
Well, John, again, where the Indian Bureau of Indian Affairs has continued to have tribes under its thumb, it is the agency that determines what goes on. And whether it's water rights, oil rights, coal rights, or solar and wind rights, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, has that control. And tribes that are able to get some control of their own resources do well, even in places where they're not close to urban areas, even in places where you might wonder what it is they would ever manage to produce and market. And yet they do well. I love the Mescalero Apache in Arizona. There are a couple of other Apache tribes that control their recreational resources. They have rent-a-lake programs. So they own the lake and they rent them out. You can have a cabin and have your family reunion. So they need a chance to enter the market, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs and treating them as trustees doesn't allow them to do so. They need the sovereignty that McGirt tried to give them.
The book is Renewing Indigenous Economies. Terry Anderson and Kathy Rattay are the authors. This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBSI on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.